Hey everyone, we're going to do our weekend motivator. I've got a weird sun coming in on the side of my face. I was just looking at it like one side of my head's glowing. Let's see if I can fix this a little bit. No, that's not going to do it. Let's see. I'm going to wait for some of you to come on in. Oh, there we go. Maybe that'll help. No, it still makes my head look like it's glowing. Oh well, you're just all treated with a glowing head. We're going to talk today about the things that happen in your body when we're changing, so that you guys get a really good sense of. I actually listened to this the other day and was like, I'm so going to teach this to the tribe because I think it's really going to help. And it kind of came up when Kathy, this was, I'm not sure what your last name was, Burham, I think. She asked on the public live the other day to talk more detail about like breaking the habit of the overeating. She's like, my overeating is just not stopping. And then even Felicia had asked about the nibbles and things. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the process of what goes on in your body when you're breaking habits you want to break. And then when you're also creating new habits, doing some things like, you know, starting your 24-hour plans when you're doing stuff like that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. But before we get started, while we have lots of people coming in, what I do want to do is I want to give some shout outs. I need to see if I can find them. Here we go. Christina Gonzalez. She ran her first 15-minute mile. She said she could barely run a mile at the beginning of the year. Joni March. Her goal for January was 22 days of 30 minutes of exercise, and she completed 26 of 30. We have Miss Lindsay Gleason. She said that when she asked what she learned in January, or when we asked her what she learned in January, she said, planning brings peace rather than seeing it as removing spontaneity. Well, that's a good one. I think that's awesome because when we think about weight loss, guys, one of the things that you want to do is you want to avoid thinking about what you're doing in a way that sucks for you. Like, this is a really good example of someone who's decided, like, rather than thinking about what I'm losing out on, I'm going to think about what I'm gaining instead. I'm going to tell you right now, if you really want to lose weight, you're going to have to do a couple things. And one of them is going to be you have to figure out a way that throughout the process, you are creating your own excitement. You're creating your own, just enjoyment. You're starting to think about it in a way of how it adds to your life. And the other thing you have to do is you have to start identifying as someone who actually loves this process. Someone who is like looking forward to this process. Someone who like, and I think this is a big piece of how you have to, you know, like when we say, a lot of you want to, you know, I'll be happy when I lose weight. It's like, no, you got to be happy now. And that doesn't mean that you have to like look at the scale and be like, I'm thrilled to weigh 250 pounds. It means I'm very thrilled that I'm going to do something about this. Like, I'm going to love the process of being someone who loses their weight. And I'm going to love the process of being someone who, you know, doesn't quit on herself anymore. And I'm going to love the process of finding out all kinds of interesting things about myself. I'm going to love the process of creating new habits. And I can see myself one day being the person who doesn't need to spontaneously choose because planning brings me peace. That is like the missing component that's not getting taught anywhere. And that's what we're hopefully teaching you guys in here about. That peace has to happen for you. And so the last person is Michelle Selby. She said for the first time she wore a top other than a tunic and she tucked it in. That's a big one too. It's like the day we let go of Spanx, the day that we like, you know, go from, I was telling Kathy, we were doing a podcast. I said, I still remember when I went from wearing, I think I started at a 24, if I'm not mistaken. I think I was a 24. But when I finally got to an 18, I was just like, hot damn, I've arrived. Like this, it's all of those little things that we look forward to and that we think about. And it's those small little goals. And, you know, like I remember being so proud of myself when Kathy and I talked about this on the podcast. Like the first time I went to the Shoney's to the buffet And I was able to stop going back at the very end and loading up on banana pudding and macaroni salad because I love them. And this was in my weight loss days. And I realized, I was like, we're going to keep going to Shoney's. I loved Shoney's. I worked there for a long time. My husband was working for the corporate office and all this other stuff. So we went to Shoney's a lot. And I was just like, I looked at myself and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to get to where I'm not eating macaroni salad and banana pudding every time if I'm going to lose weight. Because I was eating a really good salad and I'd get my liver and onions and I'd get my baked potato. But then I would like talk myself into a little extra. And I started realizing that I was going to have to start figuring out how to reduce my little extra until one day I was like so proud of myself. And I was like, I think today's the day I'm not going to go back and get that macaroni salad and banana pudding. I mean, it was just like, I still remember the first time I went to IHOP and got an egg white omelet. It was like, who does this? Just like, because I had always gone and just gotten like all the things. And I remember leveling up there because we used to love IHOP too. And we just don't have a good one. I still love IHOPs. But I remember just going and getting like looking and thinking, I'm not ready to let go of my pancakes yet, but I for fuck sure could probably get an egg white omelet. It's like, it's all the little things. But it was like every time I would do one of the little things, I'd be so proud of myself because I would just consciously think about it. Like it wasn't, and this is what I want you guys to understand, what we're going to get into today about this chemical change. It's like when you can really start pulling apart all the pieces of weight loss of like, no wonder I've done it wrong for so long. No wonder I'm not like, losing my weight because I've been trying to browbeat myself into it. I've not been trying to make small changes. I think that every time I feel bad, something must be going wrong. I make every mistake mean the end of the world. It's like, yeah, oh, now I know why I'm not losing weight. Now I know what the problem is. Those are the things we have to change. It's like, no, you really don't need a meal plan. No, you really don't have to count calories. Counting calories and meal plans doesn't fix that shit. All that, like we get to fix that with our brain. And then along the way, we get to just eat like a normal freaking person and actually like it. And actually be like, wow, this is what life can be like. So I wanted to just cover all that. All right, so I'm going to talk late. Look at this page of notes we're fixing to go. Y'all, we are going to nerd out for a minute. I'm just telling you. So my mentor, one of my mentors, I have two main mentors. I have Brooke. Obviously, y'all all know Brooke Castillo from the Life Coach School. Big time mentor of mine. I work with her very closely. I also have another mentor that I did his program, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, in order to learn how to really, it was the first introduction that I had in terms of thinking about it, like it was more of a, it was a business thing, obviously, but it really gave me the foundation of thinking about like how to plan for success. And when I look back on everything that I've learned from Todd Herman, he taught me about alter ego. It's why I have the Queen C tattoo, but he combos mindset with like extensive planning. And so I think in the last couple of years, he was the first one to really introduce me to the idea of how important it was to break things down logically, not only in your planning and your success, but also in your brain, so that when you understand what's actually happening on the inside, you don't get so emotionally lost and confused as to why things don't feel good all the time. Okay? So, I don't hate, y'all, I don't hate the egg yolks. I'm just going to say, when you're eating pancakes and you're ordering the omelet that has like all the meats in it, I would just go with the egg white one. And I thought that was such a big deal. So I don't want anybody to think that I don't like a whole egg because I love a whole egg. It's just like, mama got to cut back somewhere. It's kind of like back in the day when I would go to McDonald's and I'd get my supersize number 2 mayo instead of mustard, Oreo McFlurry or the Butterfinger McFlurry, whichever one was, floating my boat that day, with a Diet Dr. Pepper because you got to cut back someplace. So used to be my favorite order. So he was talking about chemical change and what actually goes on when we are creating new habits. So you guys know we've been looking at the Atomic Habit. Well, we haven't done it officially as a group, but I've been talking about the Atomic Habits book and stuff. So when you are going to create a new habit or you're going to break a new an old habit, whatever's happening, I'm going to go through my notes. So guys, I literally just learned this a few days ago. So I'm really playing with the concept in my head. And I'm going to reteach it to you guys so that I even understand it even more. The first thing that you have to understand is that when you're doing this, there is a cellular change that is going on in the entire body. It's all starting in the brain, but it goes throughout your body. So I don't care if you're just getting used to drinking water. You're just sitting around thinking about how you're going to make your 24-hour plan or even think differently about yourself. In order for any of that to happen, a cellular change must take place in your brain in order for it to become habit. So I want you to think about all the things that I've taught you. On the conscious part of your brain, which is the front part, that's where the conscious direction's going to go. And then eventually, once you've made this change often enough, your cells start wanting this new juju that you're going to put in. I'm going to go into it in a minute. And then it puts it into the automatic brain. So there is a process that has to happen through that. And that's what we're going to talk about. So there are chemical changes that happen on the cellular level in your body when you want to create a habit or when you want to break a bad habit. It's an inside out process, okay? And that's really important for you to understand because I've got like hair all over my face and it's just driving me crazy. It's an inside out process. So it's like on the inside, all of these things have to happen before on the outside, you're doing the actions. So if you think about our model, on the inside, we're going to have to do thought and emotional work before the actions line up on the outside. So when you think about the cells that are in your brain and in your body, they are constantly doing two things. One, they're receiving hormones all the time. So they're either receiving dopamine and serotonin, which is our feel goodies, or they're receiving adrenaline and cortisol, which is the ones that they serve a purpose, but they're the stressors. They're the ones that kick in when shit's got to happen or when you are, if you need to like run from a guy with a knife or a chainsaw, you want your cortisol and you want your adrenaline to spike. So like, oh fuck, I'm scared. I need to get out of here. Right. Back in the day, it was a saber-toothed tiger. Today, nowadays, it's, you know, Jason or what, whoever the favorite nightmare guy is right now. Let's put it that way. So your cells are always receiving and replicating cells. And they're doing this constantly, all the time in our body. And then when we decide, we're like, all right, I'm all in on PMP. Kind of get my 24-hour plan down. Time to start eating my 2-2. I'm going to get my habits going, right? This is when we're going to kickstart our positive changes. And when that happens, we start, these positive hormones start getting released in the body. It's like, okay, well now I'm planning, I'm doing these things. These things are going to be good for me. This is what's going to, go to weight loss. And your body's like, oh, this is great. Yeah. I like this. Like we're going to lose weight. So it releases dopamine and serotonin, which is the feel good stuff. Here's where the problems lies. Your cells, they are probably used to, if you've been throwing shade at yourself and you've been calling yourself overweight and you've been running around stressed out about work and thinking that your life sucks and all this other kind of bullshit, your cells have been replicating, wanting the hormone of cortisol and adrenaline. They're looking for that. Whether or not they're like productive, that's what they're looking for because every time they're replicated, they want to receive the same hormone that drove the replication process. So when you start doing good shit for you, you are now feeding it the wrong hormone. And it's like, what? So now what it has to do is it's got to work really hard to change. Like, all right, well, if I'm going to eat dopamine and serotonin, I've got to work hard to do that. So then the cell has to vibrate in the body. I know this is very technical and I'm usually not your techie girl, but I'm going to give it to you anyway and y'all all just going to have to take it. When that part happens, everything starts kind of vibrating on the inside. The problem with what happens is it's not that the dopamine and the serotonin is a bad thing and that you're not getting the feel good. The problem is that when we're just gobbling the same old bullshit we always have, like cortisol and adrenaline, we don't feel that vibration. So when emotions start getting released in the body, the new cells, Our brain has to go to work on how do we want to interpret it. What story do we want to create around why we're suddenly feeling things, even if it's good hormones, I'm telling you. And our brain usually says, something's wrong. I don't know why we're having to work so hard. This is hard. Like, are you sure you want to do a 24-hour plan? Like, come on now. You're going to have to follow that all day long. Your brain starts coming up with stories to explain why it's feeling these things in our body. And it usually starts telling us stuff like, well, you're not going to be able to keep up with this all the time. Like, this is going to be really difficult. I mean, it's the weekend. For fuck's sake, why are we going to make a 24-hour plan when we know that nachos could happen tomorrow? Like, that is what our brain does. So when they're starting to vibrate to accept the new hormone and replicate instead of just receive, this is where we start feeling everything. And this is when our brain kickstarts stories in order to explain now why. It's like, I want you guys to think about it. The first few times you make the 24-hour plan, not such a big deal. Third or fourth time, it starts feeling weird. It's because that's when the cells are starting to be like, oh, like we're doing something new. We're not just eating for stress anymore. Like, you're not allowing the stress. Like, think about this. If you were always worried about food and now you have a 24-hour plan and there's no worry about food because you've made a decision, your brain interprets that as something's gone wrong. Where's my worry hormones? Like, my cells are like sitting around. You're trying to give me peaceful hormones because you've made decisions. And then it starts vibrating because it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to have to take in all these good hormones, these good feeling hormones, I've got to change. Well, there's a lot of them that have to change. So it takes a while for you to get over that bullshitty phase. That's why I teach you to manage your brain. That's why I'm teaching you this now so that you can hear this part and be like, oh, no wonder I think so much bullshit when it comes up. That's just my brain trying to interpret why I feel these vibrations in my body, why it suddenly feels harder than it did in the beginning. So I want you to think about those stages of weight loss that I always teach you. In the beginning, it's exciting and new because you're not having to replicate new cells yet. The second you start replicating new cells and the vibrating starts, that's when the stage two hits. That's when it feels harder, the river of misery. It's like, I'm thinking in my old way. I don't really understand why I have all these feelings. I know this is good for me, and I know this could be so easy, but it doesn't feel easy yet. It feels hard, and it only feels hard because those cells aren't getting stressors like they used to. So our brain starts creating a story that, guess what, can increase our stress hormone so that those little cells can get fed whatever it is that they want. But we're not going to give them the Snicker bar anymore. We're going to just keep doing the new things because every time you follow your plan, every time you keep making a plan, every time you do a recovery worksheet, every time you don't beat yourself up over making a mistake and stuff, more dopamine, more serotonin gets released. Another cell gets created. And every single time another cell like that gets created, you get one step closer to it starting to just feel easy. Because now you have a lot of cells in your body that are saying, I need dopamine and serotonin and not from food. I need it from you. And because you have your processes going, it's constantly now feeding it that stuff. So I want you to think about every person who has ever lost weight. Almost every person will say that it was like, well, you know, when I first got excited, when I first got started, I was so excited. And man, it felt so hard for a little while, but I don't know. It just seemed like it suddenly started getting easier. And now it's just what I do. It was that process happening the whole time. It was going from, you know, I just started it to, woo, lots of cells are changing to, oh, now I'm at the tipping point where more new cells with the new way to think and the new way to feel have been created to, that's the majority of them now. That's why it feels so autopilot now. And these cells know what to look for and what to have. And then every time you do that, it's like you learn that skill, you learn it for good, for all kinds of different things. So we get to, this is why I think weight loss is so fascinating. We get to practice this in weight loss. Think about how many other areas of your life, like spending money, growing a business, leaving a job and starting a new career. I was coaching one of you guys yesterday on, you know, you want to be a nurse. You want to leave your old career and go and be a nurse. You get to practice that all the way across the board. The only thing that's required through that process, the only thing, is you can't quit. You have to go all in, guys. You have got to decide. You no longer quit on the process. And this is the thing. Even if you have an overeat or whatever, that doesn't mean you've set yourself back. You just moving forward and understanding this process, like every time you do a recovery worksheet, is another little cell that you're given dopamine and serotonin. You're giving yourself the relief of figuring out your problem when you think about it that way. I just think that this was really important. I really wanted this to be a part of the tribe, some of the content we have, because I see you guys so often, you don't understand how to think about the process. It's like you judge the process so much. And what I want you guys doing is thinking about the process and creating a story around it that really works for you. And it doesn't make you feel broken. The problem with y'all is that you create a story around the process of weight loss. It's like every single thing that doesn't work the way you think, you make it mean something's wrong with you. It's like, no, this is all part of the like grand plan. Like the plan is not just what you eat. It's like all the things you do. It's all the things you think about. It's what's going on inside your body. It's what's going on inside your mind. All of that is part of the plan. That's why we can't just plug in what we're going to eat. We have to plug in all the things. So does anybody have any questions on this? Let me see. Betsy's on here. If there's any questions, she was going to filter them up. It doesn't look like we have any. But does anybody have any questions? I'll be happy to answer them. If not, I'll give you a little run while we're waiting for some. I'll give you guys a little rundown on what's coming up. So on, I'll be coaching on Sunday, but starting Monday, the new accountability program is rolling out. So I will be today. I've already finished the video. The workbooks are done, everything like that. Today is just the day where I stage it on the website. So be on the lookout because Sunday's Massive Action Line will be coming to your inbox first thing in the morning. It will also be posted on the website first thing in the morning. I think we post at 6 a.m. So if you go to pnptribe.com, you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the main page, you'll see the Massive Action Lines. We are rolling out accountability. So this is how the accountability month is going to work. On Monday, I'm going to be doing a workshop where I am going to break down a little bit more deeper the course itself. And we're going to talk about some of the neat things that we're doing for group accountability and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'll be doing Monday night with you guys. On Sunday, though, you're going to get 10 fresh, brand new videos from me. They will also be in the private member podcast. They will be in the courses section. So you look for the update there, but you will be getting a workbook with worksheets. It has 10 videos of me teaching the concept of self-accountability, all kinds of stuff. Yes, 10 videos, 10 freshies. I worked really hard on this program, y'all. Y'all better be like, boom. If you have something bad to say, just don't tell me. No, I'm just kidding. I take all feedback. Just send it to support@pnptribe.com and it will all get to me at some point. But it is a really exciting month. One of the things that I wanted to teach you guys this month is all like, how do you start relying on yourself? Like, how do you like, but because I think like accountability groups are great and we're going to do all that. But here's the thing. I want you guys to understand first and foremost how to be responsible and accountable to you, because when you can do you, a group just makes shit so much better. It like sets it off the chart. So that's what we're going to be doing. So Monday will be a workshop, and then the following Monday I will be doing Q&A as usual for all things accountability. The third Monday will be coaching. So I'll do three tribe members. We'll get a member makeover for just accountability stuff that they either struggle with or what they want to set up, take to the next level. And then the last one will be success talks, where we'll do interviews with our ladies who are accountability bosses, and they're going to give us their best tips, tricks, and strategies on how to not only be accountable to yourself, but also how to best use groups and how they structure their groups and what they talk about and all that kind of good stuff. So we have a few questions and then we'll get out of here. I know Charles Duhigg from The Power of Habit strongly recommends incorporating a reward to give yourself the extra push to get through uncomfortable moments. Thoughts on this? Yes, Dawn, it's in the new Mastering Accountability program. I talk about rewards in there. I think it's the final lesson. I think it's lesson 10. I talk about that. So I think that's also great. One of the things that I think you want to do that I did when I was losing weight is set up rewards for, like, pick out the habits, put a number to them, and then also pick rewards that can support healthy habits. So, like, if you want to lose weight, you know, pick rewards that make that process fun. So let's say that you want to, Betsy, can you answer that about how I'm picking member makeover candidates? I know Kathy does all that. I'm not sure how she does it, but Kathy does it. I don't know what her process is. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So you want to, like, let's say that you want to do, let's say, like, planning is really hard for you. Like, it's like one of those things where you've just never been a successful planner, and you decide, all right, I'm going to do 15 24-hour plans. I'm going to just print Corinne's version off the website. And when I complete 15, I'm going to gift myself the actual PMP planner. Like, that would be tying a reward to like a healthy thing. So, like, you could also, I used to do this a lot. I used to do rewards around exercise. Like, I could sign up for a race. When I did, you know, like, I think I signed up for my first 5K after I got to where I had been walking. I did a walk, jog, walking, running for, I think it was like 8 weeks, and I had to be able to get up to doing at least 3 miles before I would sign up for my first 5K. And, like, the reward was the race. So, you know, always thinking about tying them together. What about autopilot fog eating? I do it, like, driving to work and then saying, I don't remember driving here. What I would do is, in order, first of all, is it Ella? You're going to have to track all the fog eating. So you need to figure out where it's happening the most and stuff. And then you can create pattern or environmental interrupts where that fog eating is happening so that it has to become conscious. Like, if let's say that you fog eat chips in the pantry, then you need to move the chips to a drawer somewhere where you're going to have to actively go and seek them. If you just keep them in the same place all the time, then it's easier. It's just easy to just automatically go over there. If you fog eat in your car, then you just make a rule. Like, you'll see in the accountability program, one of the things is you make a rule that I never eat in my car. You just quit eating in your car. It's like, if you want something to eat, you'll go sit in a gas station and eat it, but you just no longer eat in your car. And it's like, you create these disruptive patterns where these unconscious behaviors are happening. I'm a January baby and I've lost 12 pounds so far. Congratulations, Miss Emily. So excited. I'm rocking my 24-hour plans and I'm loving it. I don't think I've hit phase two yet and I'm dreading it a bit. I've been preparing myself for this, so I know how to keep going. Any tips for preparing for phase two? You don't need any tips to prepare for phase two. For some people, phase two lasts a day. So everybody always thinks it lasts like a long time and stuff. It's like, it doesn't have to. It just, like, it could last literally a day. The biggest thing to understand is that in phase two doesn't feel like ass. It just, like, it can feel like ass, but it can also just be like, it's stage two. I'm just not as excited as I was, but I'm still motivated. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh my God, it's all so awful and hard. You don't have to go through that phase. Some of us, because we teach you all this brain stuff, it just goes from being like wicked ass exciting to, okay, it's not wicked ass exciting anymore, but it sure is still good. I'm getting results. I'm channeling my brain. I'm doing these things. And then it starts becoming more automatic. So I wouldn't, like, gear up for it. I mean, I would just be like, I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm still loving my process. This is amazing. And if there's a day that I'm not loving the process, guess what? I've been able to practice so much determination and discipline. I don't need excitement anymore. I just now have determination and discipline to get me through until it becomes automatic habit. What do you do when the vibrations are so overwhelming? It makes me almost need to step back and take a break. Should I sit and stay with it and let them settle in my body? Usually, if that's happening, Laura, These types of vibrations are not going to be that intolerable. Those types of vibrations are coming from you compiling bullshit on top of it. So it's like, I'm doing my 24-hour plan and committing to it, and then I feel intolerable vibrations because I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do this for the rest of my life. When will this part be over? I hate feeling like this. It's when you're layering another wad of doo-doo thoughts on top of the normal vibrations. And that's what's happening. So I would take a step back. I'd take a step back and ask myself, what is my brain thinking about? And do I need to be thinking this right now? Like, is this line of thinking I'm having, is this helpful or hurtful? If thinking that I can't stand this and all this other kind of stuff is not helping, then what if I just decide I am going to take a step back and be like, this is going to be okay. It's okay to like take a time out for 10 minutes and just be like, yeah, it's hard. It's only hard though because of how I'm thinking about it right now. And keep reminding yourself of that. Would I love some non-food reward ideas, Felice? I think like, well, you know, there's always the grand old Petty and Manny. I also, for me, a lot of times a reward is just like giving myself 30 minutes to an hour to just read with no guilt. I think about like things that are luxuries to do at my house that I normally pile guilt on myself about for doing, and saying, I gift myself the reward of a guilt-free hour of doing something I like with no apologies to myself. Like, that can be a huge reward. Like, a lot of you just saying, like, my reward will be, I rarely take time to just go and write letters to myself about my dreams and stuff. I'm going to go to a bookstore and I'm going to plug in AirPods or earbuds or whatever. And I'm going to like go to Corinne's Spotify list and play one of her jamtastic playlists. And I'm going to enjoy the shit out of that time. Some of that are really good non-food rewards. And I also would not do food rewards. We have a podcast coming out. I think it came out today. Felicia, you need to listen to today's podcast. It's all about not rewarding yourself with food if you haven't done that yet. I'd also post this in the tribe and say, like, guys, let's all get crazy wild and talk about how can we start rewarding ourselves without food. What are some of our best creative ideas on special luxurious treats we can give ourselves with our brains, with our time, with whatever it is? And I bet you guys will come up with amazing things. Amica says her phase two is lasting too long. It never can last too long. I want you to think about this, Amica. It's only lasting too long because you think it's intolerable. What if you just decide to start thinking, this fucking phase is teaching me a lot about myself? It's teaching me all the things that I think that one day I will no longer have to think about. But I need to know them now, because if I ever want to not think about them, I've got to quit hiding from them. Otherwise, they're just going to roll around in there and be that. So do a download, Amica, on my phase two. The reason why I think it's lasting too long is because here's the stuff I don't like about it. Make that list and then look at it and say, like, this right here is the best work I'll ever do on myself. Learning how to think differently about these things, learning how to like take this in and changing it into a positive, is probably some of the best work I'll ever do on myself. And that way you give phase two a purpose rather than it being something that's like against you. Guys, that stage two of weight loss, where it just like all that's really going on there is it's not exciting anymore. There's been a thought change, but there has to be a feeling state change. You need to figure out, like, when I'm in stage two, if I'm feeling these things, what do I want to be feeling? Most of you in stage two need to start cultivating and feeling on purpose, determination, willingness, awareness, and like thinking about how luxurious those feelings can be for you. And like, you know, a determined person thinks, I'm willing to do anything to get to the point that this is on autopilot. I'm willing to think and feel anything I need to in order to get all of my new behaviors that I'm learning to love on autopilot. I'm nervous about Super Bowl Sunday. Last time I had people over to my house for a party, I just stared at the food spread and was worried about how much I was eating and how it compared to everyone else. Any thoughts dealing with the bullshit thinking? I just plan what you're going to have, and then you don't have to stare at it. And then you don't have to worry about what everybody else is having, because we just need to think about what is Elizabeth having. Doesn't matter what everybody else is having. Just have what's going to be appropriate for Elizabeth. It's going to allow you to enjoy Super Bowl Sunday. It's well planned. And then guess what? There's Monday. Here we are. It's not anything you have to be nervous about. I want you to go into Super Bowl Sunday feeling confident that you're going to do it different this time. I would just be like, and rather than being nervous because of how you, like, this is how I showed up last time. Tell yourself, that was just a lesson as to how I won't be showing up this time. Now I know how I don't want to do that again. So in order to not do it that way, here's how I would like to do it. I would like to be the kind of person who's not comparing myself. So guess what? Every time I catch myself looking at what somebody else is eating, I'm going to look at something else. That's super simple. You need to train your brain right now. It's like, okay, here's the deal. When I look at someone else's plate and I'm being judgy or nosy or comparing and despairing, whatever that is, I'm going to remind myself, oh yeah, I don't do that anymore. What's on the TV? What's that cat doing? What time is it? Like, you have a million things you can be thinking about. You just have to point your brain into the direction of thinking about something different. What other people eat, you need to tell yourself, what other people eat's none of my goddamn business. Not one lick. And that's the thing. You stop worrying about what people think about your food when you quit judging what other people are eating. It makes sense to you that people would be thinking about your food if you're obsessively thinking about others. That doesn't mean that that's what they're doing. But your brain will for sure make that connection that if I think this way, that must be the way other people think. No. I can promise you, When people come to camp, sometimes they're very nervous about eating in front of me. I could not tell you what people eat. I am not the kind of person that pays attention to it. Here's why. I got too much other shit to pay attention to. What you put in your mouth, like, does not get on my radar. I remember when we were at this camp, you know what was on my radar? My son, he was at another table. I probably looked over there 20 times to see who he was talking to, because he's always talking to ladies and stuff. Everybody at that table ate that night. Could not tell you one thing. Well, I do know one thing. Somebody had some pizza because I got offered the last slice. I don't know who it was, but somebody did. And I was like, no, I'm going to order my own. And man, I ordered that bacon wrapped meatloaf and it was delicious. I was so hungry. I hadn't ate since lunch, and this is at midnight. And I was like, this might be the best meatloaf I've ever put in my mouth. All right. We also want to give an additional shout out. Elizabeth Croft Miller, welcome to the Century Club. She's lost 100 pounds, y'all. So everybody needs to give her a round of applause and all that kind of good stuff. Y'all, I'm so proud of all the work we're doing in here. We're just, I don't know. Like, my level of pride right now about just how you guys show up and the questions you ask. It's so amazing to me, the questions you guys are asking these days and just really thinking and really doing the work and the changes you're making in your lives. It just is so good. So I'm loving it. I thought Betsy was typing in one more, but she's not. Well, guys, y'all have a good weekend. I'm going to keep this one nice, short, and sweet. I will give you a surprise, though, tonight. Since Mr. Crabtree and I closed on our new house yesterday, we're super excited. We decided to do our date night last night, so date night's out the way. I'm going to do a surprise watch party tonight. So if you want to join me, here's what a watch party is. A watch party is on Facebook, and you just log in at the time. Let's see, what time do we want to do this? Let's do our watch party tonight at 6 o'clock. Because Krabby and I are going to watch a movie tonight, but I know that he's going to be working with Mr. Logan with some Elm software programming. So they're going to have their boy time before we have our movie time. So let's do it at 6, and then we are going to rewatch the I tell you what, we'll watch this one first. And then if they're still working, I will do some of yesterday's Q&A that I did where I cried all the way through it because I was hormonal as a jackass. But it was good hormonal jackass. And I preached a lot. I think I cried in a pre. I don't even know what was happening. I was drinking way too much coffee. I remember that much. But we'll do that tonight at 6. So all you have to do a watch party is basically what's happening is I will take two things that we have already seen. So I won't be live. I'll be watching me. And we'll watch it together and we'll type comments. So like you'll be able to chat with me in the comment box. So this one is a surprise. It's not planned. The month of February, since we're here, the rest of them are all planned. So we have them officially on. And the watch parties, I don't know how they do the replays. This is a brand new feature to Facebook. But when you come in, if you don't see it, just refresh your feed until you can find the watch party in the Facebook group. But I'll be here at 6. And then once it's over, the watch party only stays in the news feed. It will not go into the videos. But the videos that we watch are in the videos stored inside of Facebook. Just so you guys like understand how it works. We're still learning it ourselves. So we're all learning together. But then if you did want to watch it just to see what the comments were, what videos we watched, you could always just find it in the feed and pull it back up. But watch parties are simply like, we're just getting together, watching a replay. That's all that's happening. So it's not anything live. The only thing that live that happens is all of us typing questions to each other or typing answers and stuff like that in the comments. All right. So I hope that hopefully is a good explanation. So anybody who wants to watch with me tonight, I'll see you at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.